Welcome to Edge of the Rabbit Hole. I'm your host, author and ghost historian Mike Ricksecker. With me, as always, my co-hostess, Vanessa Hogel.
Howdy, folks.
And we're doing something a little different tonight. Yeah, this is a little bit of a shorter segment. We're calling this Rabbit Pellets, a little something extra at the bottom of the rabbit hole. So what we're going to do is we're going to come on every Monday night for about, 10, 15 minutes, hit a supernatural topic, and just kind of give you our viewpoints, kind of almost like a little warm-up to the Tuesday night Edge of the Rabbit Hole full live show that we have on YouTube, which is youtube.com/hauntedroadmedia. So please go ahead and check that out if you are not already a subscriber. So we're going to kick it off with an idea that Vanessa had for tonight's show. So Vanessa, go ahead and tell them what you had in mind for our very first rabbit pellet.
Well, I've been thinking a lot about this, and based on different people that we've had on the show and different people that I've spoken to privately and different research that I've done, I thought it would be a good topic to discuss manifested negative energy as opposed to actual negative energy caused by an outside force. And the reason I thought this was so important is I have come, you know, into contact with certain people who have claimed to have activity in their home, but it appears as if they are the ones, even unbeknownst to them, manipulating their environment or causing this negative energy on their own. And it made me think of something that you talked about before with different, what do you call those, urban legends and stuff that might not be true, but due to the energy put into them, are they almost manifested into reality?
Yeah, that would be a tulpa, but kind of the way you were describing it to me, it sounded like you were talking about PK activity, which a lot of people will say can manifest itself as poltergeist activity. And yeah, we've talked about those sorts of things on here before. So which angle are you taking here?
I guess more of the something that I talked about on my personal YouTube video was talking about almost like the paranormal hypochondria, Munchausen by paranormal, people manifesting those things themselves through fear, through psychoses. Is it actual activity or is it something that they're causing on their own?
Yeah, so that would be probably more the PK activity, because a tulpa, they're not necessarily manifesting that. I mean, in a way, they kind of speak it into existence, only from the viewpoint that the entity that picks up on this these urban legends and stories and things that have become really popular, they'll take that and manifest themselves as that entity. Like the big one is Slenderman. So people are thinking that Slenderman is a tulpa now, that there is some supernatural entity that has followed along with the story and has decided to take on the persona of Slenderman, even though there is no real Slenderman, but it's trying to portray itself as that. What you're talking about sounds a bit more like PK activity, that their energy is being set forth into, into the world, for lack of a better term, and is becoming something.
Yes, and I mean, I've wondered about this for quite a long time, because I have people contact me about cases, and they can be very distraught over what they're experiencing. And the funny thing is, the common denominator that I have found is if it's a case that has actual negative energy that is being caused by an outside force, they are looking for help. They're seeking guidance. They're seeking some type of answer or way to dispel the energy. Where there are cases where there isn't an outside source that is known, and this person is, unbeknownst to them, manifesting this negative energy, they seem to be resistant to guidance, resistant to help, and try to shun any idea that there might be a way to limit this or calm it down or make it go away. It's almost as if they crave it. And by craving it, they're putting that energy to it and feeding it and making it more active.
Okay, so I'm seeing if I have this correct. So they're basically generating, manifesting this activity. Somebody's telling them, hey, you're the one that's actually doing this, but they don't want to listen to that, and they keep perpetuating the activity.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Okay. And I mean, it doesn't mean that every single time they're manifesting it, or that every single person that comes with a case is doing that. But I think this is something that investigators, psychic mediums, anybody that's involved in paranormal investigation needs to pay close attention to and really needs to vet who they're investigating or who they're trying to help, in so that they don't become involved in a situation that seems to be infinite. There doesn't seem to be an end that's conceivable.
Yeah, I think there's definitely those cases in which, you know, you'll have that client that keeps calling you back out, and you'll go and, you know, the shit will be hitting the fan when you first get there. Things will calm down. Everything will be okay. And you leave, and then within a couple of days, they're calling because there's all this other, you know, crap going on again. So yeah, you have those. They're almost like energy vampires, where energy vampires will kind of, you know, leech onto your energy and take it. But this is kind of almost one of those where, you know, it's almost like attention seeking, you know. So
absolutely.
So that's where they're. I almost want to say attention vampire, kind of.
Well, you actually hit on something pretty amazing, because I never looked at it in that aspect. But like you said, it's similar to an energy vampire, psychic vampire, where they draw from. Imagine that in reverse, and instead of drawing from, they're projecting out.
Right, there you go.
And that is, I believe that this is something that is very real, and that it's something that people need to be mindful of, be made aware of, and be cautious of, because just because they're manifesting it or manipulating the situation in any way doesn't mean that it can't be just as negative, just as dangerous, and just as detrimental to anybody going and trying to help.
Well, yeah, any situation like that, you know, you're taking a great risk. And I mean, there's all kinds of risks when we go out there and investigate anyway, but that one, repeatedly going back, yeah, you're put at even greater risk. What about those cases in which, and you see this a lot with adolescent girls, where, you know, they'll be manifesting that activity around them, and they may not quite understand it, but it does seem to kick up very heavily in similar ways to what you just described.
And that is, the situations are very similar and very different. One is with the cases that we've been talking about, these people might not be aware of it, but they are resistant to help. As far as the adolescent girls, having been one myself and been, you know, privy to these types of situations because of what I was going through, they try to fight it. You know, they seek help. I believe one of the main reasons that happens, especially with adolescent girls, is because it can be triggered hormonally.
Right, exactly.
It can be triggered by hormones. Young girls especially, and you can take this back to, you know, through history, through folklore, you know, and just say there's a little witch in all of us, you know, because there is, and say that that's part of it, because that would be kind of a coming of age type of situation. But it's a very troubling time, and young girls will generally do everything that they can to fight it. These adults that do this, even on a subconscious level, will do everything they can to resist the fight. Does that make sense?
Yeah, that makes total sense. I mean, I've been on cases where, I was basically getting that example from a case that I had been on where there was, an adolescent girl. I mean, she was like 14 years old, and all this crazy activity was going on in the house only when she was there at the house. And so she was basically manifesting that activity.
Absolutely.
But that's different than the person that's trying to get you to come back, because of all the crazy stuff that's going on in the house that they want you to observe.
Thank you. That is actually a very good way of putting it that I didn't quite cover. It is to a certain degree, even though they might not be fully aware of how they're doing it, it's almost like a, look what I did.
Yeah, come look at my demon.
Exactly. And whereas, the adolescent will be like, oh my God, it's a demon. And then the adult that's doing this on purpose will be, it's a demon.
Right. There you go.
Almost as if it's a pet. And that's another thing that I think that we need to touch on just super quick is that is almost what some of these people look at these things that they're creating as an extension of the family, an extension of themselves, a pet, if you will. And it's very troubling. I've actually had 4 or 5 different people come to me within the past 2 weeks with situations like these in regards to other people that are doing this, and they're frightened. And the other thing is the people that are doing this, that are manifesting this and causing this negative activity, they try to project that onto anyone who does try to help them. I had a person who actually was told by one of these people that don't speak of this at all, or this is going to show up at your house too. You're going to have to suffer just the way I have. And that's unbelievably frightening and completely irresponsible.
Yeah, that's almost like fear-mongering for the sake of it. And I think maybe they're getting a thrill off of doing that to a person where, just like you said, hey, I'm afraid this might happen to you. You may get some sort of attachment, and, they're kind of really exacerbating the situation where, it's kind of like the ultimate showing off in a very negative way that, they want, it's almost like they want the person, to acknowledge, if I come in and, this happens, then I'm going to get this and, oh, you're so right. It's almost like they want some sort of affirmation that they're kind of in the know on this, demonic activity that's supposedly going on in there, and I think it gives them some sort of thrill. I mean, it's attention seeking, really, I think is what it is.
It's a form of power. It's a form of power. What it also is self-fulfilling prophecy, which is pretty much what I consider curses to be. When you tell somebody over and over again that something negative is going to happen, they're only going to see the negative. Everything that happens that appears to be out of the norm is going to be, oh my gosh, it's because of this. What do I do now? I'm so afraid. And so then they talk with the person who told them this, and one just feeds the other and feeds the other, and it just goes back and forth. And it ends up being a self-fulfilling prophecy. Whether there's negative activity or not, it is being generated and created.
Yeah, it's planting that seed. It's like if I tell you don't think of elephants, what are you thinking of?
Elephants.
Exactly.
All day long, every day. Elephants.
Yeah, so that's immediately what somebody's going to think of is, if you just mention whatever it is and they're going to start thinking of it. And
absolutely. Absolutely. And I mean, I know that there's no way to stop it. I know that there's no way for us to, or anybody, to make that go away. But what we can do is educate ourselves and each other on what to look for, and in hopes to avoid these situations. Because I'm here to tell you right now that if somebody is choosing this, which by refusing help or shunning anything that is mentioned to them that might ease the situation, that is a choice. They are choosing it. Our choice can be to not involve ourselves in it.
Absolutely.
It really is that simple. It's self-preservation, and it is a must for this field.
Yep, I agree with that. So I guess be warned. Not necessarily like that, but yeah. You know, we need to be careful when we're going out there, not just of the, you know, supernatural and the different, you know, I mean, there are nasty entities that are out there, but, you know, I fear the living more than I do the dead.
You know? Absolutely. So. Without a doubt.
All right. So I think that will about do it for our first rabbit pellet.
Woo!
All right. No, this is fun.
I like this. This was good. Did you like the topic?
Yeah, it was a great topic. So, yeah, so for our listeners, come back every Monday for your next rabbit pellet. This will be available to you first thing in the morning. You know, the podcast will go up there Sunday night, and then by the time it hits all the feeds and everything, it'll be out for Monday morning. Then, of course, check out Edge of the Rabbit Hole live show on the Haunted Road Media channel, youtube.com/Haunted Road Media, every Tuesday night, 9:30 Eastern, 8:30 Central, and then the podcast version for that usually comes out Thursday or Friday during the week. So there you go. I'm Mike Rick Secker, and this is Vanessa Hogle. So
later, Gators.
Have a good one.